Let's go to Genesis this morning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 35. We're going to talk about Jacob a little bit. Not so much about Jacob, but just one of the experiences that he had that's a lesson for us. There's a little bit of Jacob in all of us. Yes, sir. If you've lived long enough to experience anything, you can look at Jacob and see, that's me. You can see yourself. You know, people generally make about the same mistakes. When you boil it all down to basic things, people make the same dumb mistakes. Amen. And some of them recover. Some of them don't. That's the bad part. Most don't. It's the thing, you know, we've said about sin before. I'm so thankful for forgiveness and for a Savior and for atonement for sin. And that there is a way to obtain forgiveness and to be justified and to have a new life. I'm glad for that. But you just need to realize that most people never do. Once you go off into it, your chances of coming back are very slim. Very slim. Better look at it like a monster and like something that's scary. Let's read Genesis chapter 35. Let's read the first five verses here. You got your Bible, I hope you'll look at it and read along with me. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and wash your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings that were which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. All right, well, let's pray again. Father, thank you for the songs and thank you for the Word of God. I pray you'd bless it now to our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to understand. And Spirit of God, I pray that you would minister this to the heart of each one here. Apply it, make the application in each one's life. Lord, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I'm not able to. But my duty is to preach the Word of God. And I pray you would take it and be the minister here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all I got to say to start with is that it's a good thing Jacob had an encounter with God when he was young. Oh, yeah, he went off and he made a mess of things. He didn't really get right. And there was a lot of things in his life that were messed up. But it's just a good thing that he had a place and an experience and an encounter with God back there where God really spoke to him one time when he was young. Because he had somewhere to go back to. He had some anchor there to reach for when things got worse in his life. He's in trouble here. You know, we didn't read the whole context and everything, but the chapter before this is when... And the chapter before that, he met with Esau. He's on his way home back to where he come from. When he left, Esau, his brother, was going to kill him. He fled from him. And now he's coming back. He thinks Esau's going to kill him. But they meet, and Esau's peaceable, and Esau hugged him and welcomed him home and all of this. And they made up, you know, well, you go first, and I'll follow you. Jacob told him, he said, I'll be there. I'm going where you're at. But he didn't. Esau left and Jacob went another way. And he set up housekeeping there. And then as soon as he did, Dinah, his daughter, his only daughter, went out to see the daughters of the land. Made a big mess. Fornication. Then her brothers, you know, they made this deal with the people of the land and all of this. And then his brothers went and slaughtered them. They circumcised, you know, they got circumcised, and while they were all sore and couldn't fight, Jacob's sons went in and killed them all. And now they're in trouble. I mean, they come home, Jacob said, don't you cause me, my name, to stink into all of these people, well, they're going to get us. I mean, we're in trouble, boys. That's the situation. They've killed these men of this town. Now the whole people of the country is going to come after them, Jacob thinks, and so do these boys. I mean, they're kind of young, and they just haul off and do these things like that rash. I mean, Jacob said, "What have you done? You know, ain't you got any sense?" And they said, "Should they treat our sister like a harlot?" Well, no, but don't you think about the consequences of what you do? I mean, they went out and killed all these people, and now what? Then what? What's next? They didn't think that far. They stacked in there. But anyway, they got a big problem here. Now Jacob's, I mean, it looks like he's done for. You ever get to that place where you think you're done for? I mean, this is the end. I'm done. We're done. This is it for us. Defeat. Well, that's where he's at. God speaks to Jacob when he finds himself in the mess that resulted from Dinah's going out to see the daughters of the land. There's not much doubt that Jacob was seeking God's face because he was heartbroken, disappointed, and in big trouble. Look at this. Think about it a minute. Just think a little deep about it. Jacob's whole family is a big mess. His only daughter now. I mean, if you got one daughter, you got kind of great hopes for her, don't you? Now this. What a mess. Just ruined. And then these boys go out and do this, and they're already a mess, but then they go out and cause all this trouble. I mean, it's just, he's got to run, got to flee. Disappointed in his family, disappointed in everything. God will speak to you when you seek him. That's what I said a while ago. It's a good thing that Jacob had an encounter with God when he was younger. I hope you do, you young people here. I hope you don't just sit here and sleep and goof off and not pay attention and never hear God speaking to you when you're young. Because when you get on down the road, you're going to run into big messes like this. Your sin and your foolishness and your carelessness is going to run you aground. And you ain't going to know who to call on. And you ain't going to know where to turn. You ain't going to even be able to remember God because you never give him the time of day. You never give him an ear while you were young. You better listen while you're young. You better have something. You better have something. If that's really about the only hope we got is to give you something, to have something that you can remember when you get older that'll bring you back when you go out there and mess things up. Because that's what the world will do for you. You better believe it. You go their way, you get out there mixed up in their deal. And there's so many ways that I want to talk about that, and I don't want to preach all for an hour and a half here this morning, but it's like I always say, if you listen quick, I'll preach quick. But if it's like preaching to a stump, well, then we'll be here a while, you know. Jacob had something to look back upon. He had that encounter with God. It was really real. God did speak to him. He did meet with God at Bethel. That was the place. There was a place where he met with God. Trouble makes a child of God seek God's face more fervently. Now it does. I really believe that. I don't believe if you're a child of God, you're going to run and get mad and bitter at God when trouble comes in your life. He's your only help in time of trouble. He's your strength and your life. You'll turn to him. You'll run to him when you're in trouble. Jacob ran to God. In fact, everybody, trouble makes everybody seek after God to some degree. Even people that say they're agnostics and atheists, they're in trouble, a plane's about to crash, what do they say? Oh God. Amen. Yeah, they look to God, they seek, they turn that direction. If we want to get people to church, let me give you some good advice this morning. We ought to seek out the people that are in trouble, because they're more likely to listen. Yeah, that's right. Who was David's crowd of mighty men? What were they made of? Everybody's in trouble. First thing it says. They went with David. Yeah. People that are in trouble, they're the most likely to get into church where they'll listen to the word of God. They need God. You're not in trouble. You don't need him, you think. All right. Until serious trouble breaks out in our life, especially in our home and family. We live in this illusion that everybody and everything around us is going to be all right, going to turn out all right. Everybody thinks that. Not my children. No, sir. Not Esther and Dakota can't imagine that little girl ever giving them any trouble. Gary and Elizabeth, you can't imagine that. Well, you're beginning to worry a little bit, but no, you can't imagine. You know, their little mischief and their little foolishness and their children, and you just accept that. But you can't imagine them doing something like Dinah did here. You can't imagine your little boy doing what Jacob's boys did here. That kind of trouble. You don't think about that. Everybody lives in that illusion until it happens. Until serious trouble comes. And trouble makes us realize that there's a lot more wrong than we thought was wrong. You know, people get mad at the preacher for trying to reveal the things that are wrong. But that's his job. He's supposed to do that. And then people get mad at him for doing it. But it'll save you a lot of heartache down the road if you'll just listen. And realize before it just comes overflowing and bursting out on you like it did Jacob here. We see immediately that we're powerless against it and don't know what to do about it. So we turn to God. That's what Jacob's doing here. And since God's merciful and God's loving and kind, we got the promise in the Word of God that He'll hear our cries and He'll help us. How many times did He do that for unbelieving Israel? Over and over. They would forsake Him and forget Him, and then they'd get in trouble, and then they'd cry out to God, and God would hear from heaven and have mercy on them and deliver them from their trouble. Ain't that right? Merciful. His mercies are everlasting. Jacob's sons knew they were in trouble too. They did. They were the kind of guys that, you know, they haul off and do something on a rash impulse like that, and then all of a sudden realize, uh-oh, now we're in trouble. But the deal was, they hadn't had no experience with God. But it's a good thing their father had. Yes, sir. It's probably a big part of the reason that they obeyed Jacob and did what he said here. They had no experience with God. But God did, or Jacob did, and so he is going to take his family back to the place where he found direct help from God before. Been a whole lot better if he'd just did it a long time ago instead of wandering around forever. God tells Jacob to go to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. We all know that, don't we? God told Jacob, go to the house of God. It's a place to go to get help. It's a place you ought to go. And not just to visit. He didn't say go pay a visit back to that place. He said go to Bethel and dwell there. That means stay there. Stay put. Don't wander off again. Don't be looking over the fence and everywhere else and listening to all these other voices. Get to Bethel and stay there. You want to have any hope for this situation you're in? You better do what I'm saying. You better get it. We don't have to rest the scripture here to understand the meaning of what God's telling Jacob. Go to the house of God and stay there. Not just... He didn't say just find a church somewhere and go to church. No, it was not that at all. Jacob had built an altar in Succoth there. Didn't do much good, did it? Jacob built that altar. God told him, go to Bethel and build there an altar to God and stay there. It's a little different, quite a bit different. He didn't say go to any old place. Just find you a place. I mean, you can worship God down on the river or at the lake or anywhere else you want to. You can worship God at home. Well, you can worship God in them places, but that's not the house of God. And there's a big difference, and you can't survive on that, and you can't raise your family on that, and you can't keep your bearings right trying to do that kind of stuff and substitute that for the house of God. Go to the house of God and stay there. You need to go to the place where you met with God before. That's why it's so important that you meet with God early in your life. It's so important that parents make sure their children know what it's like to be in a place of worship where God really shows up and speaks and deals with hearts. There's a difference in going to church and just having this entertainment and having this service where we all just, you know, have a good time. And all the activities and all the things that churches do. It's more than that. You got to have more than that. They'll have all the fun and they'll have a blast and they'll make some memories and all of that. But that ain't going to do what they're going to need down the road. If Jacob would have just had a good time at Bethel, if it had been one of them places where he just enjoyed the singing and they had a meal afterwards and everybody had the great fellowship and it's just like a camp meeting, that would have been a good experience, but it wouldn't have been a place he could go back to and draw from. I've been to them kind of things, and I've enjoyed them, and I enjoy the fellowship, and enjoy, and am blessed by the people I met there, and all of that. But I don't draw on that when I'm in trouble. If God wasn't there, then I've got nothing to draw on. That's just good memories, like family reunions and ball games and things we did that was fun. Yeah. God is the difference. God was at this place. Remember when Jacob left, he left there saying, this is a dreadful place. This is a house, none other than the house of God. And it's a dreadful place. Are you past that in your life? Where the house of God's a dreadful place to you? Are you past that? Are you still there? You still where Jacob was before this? House of God is a place where you just rather just stay away from. You feel like it's a thing that's going to interfere with what you want to do in your life. It's a thing that's negative to you because it's trying to turn you away from what you really want to do. Remember Jacob? He said, here's his prayer. If you'll go with me, Lord, in the way that I go, and if you'll bless me in all that I do, I'll give you a tithe. I always thought, Jacob, that's a lousy thing to say to God. What a lousy attitude to have. You're going to drag God along with you, and if he'll do what you want, and he'll bless you and keep you from trouble, just like the prayer of Jabez. Just keep me from trouble and bless me in everything I do, I'll give you the tithe. Well, the tithe's the Lord's anyway. He ain't giving him nothing. Oh, my. Jacob's learned a lot since then. Now he sees the need to be in a place where God will speak to him and help him and tell him what to do. Where God will be his protection and his covering. He understands that now. And he understands his need of that. Maybe you don't this morning. Probably some of you don't. You don't understand that yet. You think God's just a nice little thing to have along with you for the ride. Have him. He's your co-pilot. Yeah. He'll help you in everything you want to do. That's what you got in your mind about God. But I'm telling you, there's a coming a time in your life when it's going to be the other way around. And you're going to realize that you need God. Maybe you don't think you need him right now. It's because your trouble ain't heavy enough. You think life's rough right now? It can get a lot rougher. Yes, sir, buddy. Let me hurry here. Gotta hurry. He didn't tell Jacob to go to church once or a few times. He said, just drop in there on Sunday morning. That'll be enough. No. Go there and stay. Be there. When God's... What if you miss him? I've never understood. You know, since I have been saved, I just go to church. When it's time for church, I go to church. I don't want to miss. What if I miss and that's the time God came by? There's always something for you. In every service, sometimes it's boring and seems that way and seems dead and all of that, but I've got something out of even services like that before and I was so thankful I was there. What if I would have missed some of the key things that's changed my life? What if I'd have missed some of the key things that were said from a sermon somewhere that I heard that opened my understanding and gave me light to see? What if I'd have missed it? No, don't want to do that. Better dwell there. That's what he said. Go there and dwell. Stay there. When you know God's spoken to you before, don't leave. Drop your anchor and quit chasing dreams and fantasies and things of the world. There are a lot of people in our day who run to a church somewhere when they find themselves in trouble. Oh my, have I seen that through the years so much. I've seen it here. I've seen it everywhere I've ever been. People get in trouble and boy, they come to church a week or maybe two. And as soon as their trouble lets up a little bit, they're gone. Yep. That ain't going to fix the problem. This Jacob's in too much trouble for any little weak thing like that. There are a lot of people in our day who do that. But a few of them run to Bethel, the place where God is. And then you know, they run. Some of them run to places where God's supposed to be, but he isn't there. And they don't find help for their soul. And boy, that's a big deal nowadays. Y'all listening? Go to church where it's a lot of people there and a big deal of going. But God ain't there. And I can tell you God ain't there when they're blasting their rock and roll music and their smoke and mirrors and all of that stuff and the noise and that is idol worship. It is not worshiping our God. And they ain't going to find no help for their soul in a place like that. In fact, they're going to get hurt spiritually from going to places like that. You don't go to places like that. You go to Bethel. Any old place of worship is not going to do. You got to go where God will speak to people and where he has spoken to people. Some of them do run to Bethel, but they don't stay there. They jump and run before God can accomplish anything in their soul. That's always been the problem where I've been a preaching. I've watched it and watched it and watched it. Somebody come in, they'll maybe 1 week, maybe two. They're out. They're gone. They're looking for excitement. They're not looking for truth. The time will come and they'll turn away their ears from hearing the truth. And you say, oh, you're just making excuses. You're just a sorry preacher and they won't listen to you. No, I don't believe that's the way it is. And maybe I'm a sorry preacher, but that ain't what the problem is. No, sir. They'll go somewhere else where there's lots of excitement and activity and people. Because you can hide in a crowd. I've always said that. Even when I was part of big churches and stuff, I always recognized that. Yeah. People run down small towns. But in a small town, you're accountable because everybody knows everybody. And if you get out here doing a bunch of junk, everybody's going to know it. And it's the same way in a great big church. You can be anonymous. You can miss and nobody even knows you wasn't there. You can slip in and sit in the back and never get involved in anything, and that's okay as long as you're there. Amen. When there's just a few of you, everybody depends on one another a lot more. And you're more accountable. A real Bethel will be a place where God speaks to those who are worshiping him there. And a real Bethel will be a place where truth can be found and understood. We get out here and talk to people and we were talking to some people the other day, and it was just, I go away thinking, just grieved because they're so void of understanding. And they go to a Baptist church, and nobody's telling them nothing. Nobody's teaching them nothing. They're not getting any truth whatsoever. And they're just wandering around confused and all disoriented in this world, can't find their way. They have trouble with their kids and they don't know what to do. And their kids just go to the world and go off into sin. And they don't understand why. They had them in church. Bethel is a place where God's at. Every church is not a Bethel. Amen. You need to get where you can hear the truth and understand it. A real Bethel will be a place where souls are delivered from their delusions and the darkness and sealed as the children of God. I mean, this Bethel is going to make a difference this time in Jacob's life. Yes, sir. Amen. A real Bethel is a place where covenants are made and kept. So before he jumped up and took off, I want you to listen to this now. This is the thing I see here. Before he jumped up and took off, Jacob prepared to go to Bethel. How many of you prepared to come to church this morning? Yeah. Everybody prepared to some degree or another. But let's see if we all prepared like Jacob did. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him. That means everybody was with him. his servants, everybody's with him, not just his kids and his wives. Everybody was with him. Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. That's what we need to tell people today. Be clean. Because most people are filthy. Filthy mouthed. Filthy minded. Their hearts defiled. They're profane and full of profanity. I see preachers putting profanity on Facebook. Preachers that I know put stuff on there with profanity in it. Mercy. It's a far cry from just a couple of generations ago. The old preachers that I knew back 40 years ago, they thought reading the newspaper would defile you. You wouldn't be able to preach reading that filth. Yeah. I remember Lester Roloff saying that. He just said, "What in the world's the matter with you preachers? Put that thing down. How do you think you can read all that stuff and that filth and all that garbage and then get in the pulpit and preach the word of God with any kind of power?" And now they use profanity themselves. And think they're the, like the Pope of the Baptists and stuff. Be clean. Jacob said, "We're going to Bethel. We're going to the place where God is at. I met him there before. And we're going there to hear from him. We're not fooling around. We're not going to play church. We're not going to just get a little religion in our life. We're not going there so you can be around some better people and improve the atmosphere in our home. We're not doing it for that. We're going to meet God. You can't meet God without," he said, "clean up. Change your clothes." You see that? "Change your garments. Be clean." That ain't what preachers are telling people now, is it? Is that what preachers are telling people now about coming to church? Do they say, "You need to dress up. You're coming to meet God"? No. Come as you are. You remember Mike telling me there was a big uproar in their denomination because there was a preacher down in Florida, had a great big church going. He was a young guy and they were busting at the seams. And he baptized a woman in a bikini. And they were all upset, Well, reckon why? You see anything wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. No discernment between what's holy and unholy. No discernment or making any kind of difference between the clean and the unclean. It's all okay. What's the matter with you? You got a problem. You're the pervert. You got a dirty mind. You better not tell me that. Oh, mercy. I might take a swing at you. No, that's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. Be clean. Change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. All right, Jacob did not say to his family, "We're going to church. Come as you are." Said, "You look okay." That ain't what he said, is it? Say amen. He didn't say that. Be clean. Clean yourselves up. Change your garments. He didn't tell them to dress casual or comfortable. He didn't tell them that he was going to take them somewhere so they could be exposed to some different views. He commanded them to put away the strange gods that were among them. Well, what'd that consist of? Well, listen to me. It was the poison in their minds that they'd picked up from these ungodly people that they'd been living around. You got any of that in you? Huh? Do you? Yes, you do. I promise you, you do this morning. Everybody reads Facebook all the time. All the memes and everything. And that's where you get your philosophies now. I mean, it used to be the TV and all the TV programs. And I guess that's kind of a thing that's kind of got pushed back now. It's still there. And it's a big influence. But, that's not the main thrust of the indoctrination that Satan is doing now. It's through this other media and stuff. But you get ideas. You read a little phrase that somebody says, some little smart phrase, and it just sounds, that makes sense. Yeah, that's true. You better be very careful. All that's trickery, and sometimes one word makes the difference. And it just plants a seed in your mind and warps your thinking. And then from there, you go off thinking some craziness. And before long, you're really messed up when it comes to spiritual discernment and being able to understand things right. Hope you're listening. They had poison in their minds. They'd been, Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land. Yeah. The boys did too. They were all involved with all of them. The worldly philosophies and ideas and theories that they had allowed into their thinking. You see, idolatry is not just having little idol statues and stuff that you carry around. That's not the thing that is so abominable to God. It's what they represent. See? And that's what it represents more than anything. Idolatry is a matter of the heart. It's a you're worshiping things and you set your affection on things and you accept as true things that are false and these other things that are not of God. The degenerate values they had adopted from the degenerate people they'd been associating with. Jacob said, boys, things are fixing to change in this household. We're going to change the way we're looking at life, the way we're thinking, the way it's been is going to change. Not going to be that way anymore. We're not going to put up with this foolishness and this wicked thinking and this worldly view of everything. We're going to the house of God. Now get rid of it. Get rid of it. I don't want any clothes. I don't want anything on you. I don't want nothing on you that identifies you with this worldly, wicked crowd that we've been around and that we're in trouble with. Amen. That's exactly what's going on here. We're leaving this place. We're going to the house of God. Now, dress like it. Get that junk. Get them earrings out of your ears. Get all that junk off of you. Clean up. We ain't going up there smelling like this place. Amen. Simple. Straightforward. It's the way it is. All these things are like corner posts or markers by which they took their bearings or navigate through life. And Jacob called them gods, and that's exactly right. Of course, you know, that's, I hope you understand that. These things may very well have been represented by little tokens and adornments that they wore on their bodies or had in their possession. People, then that reason is because everybody always declares their identity to others by their outward appearance, their clothes, and the way they adorn or mutilate their bodies. Now, I always get in trouble and people get mad at me for this, but yeah, that's exactly how it is. People identify themselves. Some people are cowboys. Some people are bikers. Some people are just punks. Some people are just something else, you know, and they always identify themselves. There was a book years ago we used to have in the church around here. It's called Your Clothes Say It For You. And that's exactly right. Yes, sir. There is such a thing as the attire of a harlot, the Bible talks about. Everybody knows. You see somebody dressed like, see a woman dressed like that, you know what she is by the way she's dressed. Is that the Bible says that and uses that language. And we identify with what we are by the outward appearance. That's why he said change your clothes. You ain't going up there looking like it. We ain't going in. We're not going to meet God like this. Amen. People declare their identity by the interest and pastimes and by what they entertain themselves with and where their mind is. You tell who you are. You can talk to somebody for just a few minutes and you know what they are, don't you? You meet somebody in a doctor's office and get to talking to them, you can tell right away where their heart lies, what their mind is focused on. Yeah, you can tell. If it's God, you'll know it right away. I've sat down with people and in less than a minute I knew, you know, there was a kindred spirit. The conversation immediately went to where they identified who they were. Hope I could be that kind of a person too. Anyway, they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Verse 4. They did. They put away all the strange gods. They got rid of them. When are you ever going to do that? You know, when are you going to stop holding on to your strongholds in your mind and in your heart and start listening for the voice of God? When are you ever going to lay it down and quit fighting? When are you going to quit being stubborn and clinging to what you think and what you believe and your opinions and what you love and what you like and what you want and what you dream about? When are you going to quit that? They did, because it's the only hope they got. They're in trouble. They put away all the strange gods, got rid of them. That's what it says there. They put them away. And they purged their lives of the things that were not of God. They didn't approach God in their filth and with all their idols in their hands. They put them away before they came to God. It's like a picture of repentance. And it's as much as was in their power, they made themselves clean outwardly. Now, Baptists have a problem with this now because we've been told not of works. This is not works. This is not works. That's not what that is. This doesn't save you. This doesn't do a thing about your sin. What we're talking about here is approaching unto God. If a priest tried to approach unto God casually, he died immediately. It was not, God is holy. You don't come into his presence just high and mighty and full of yourself. And you don't come into God's presence saying, you got to accept me for what I am. No, you come into God's presence with fear and trembling and with reverence and respect and regard for who he is. And at the very best, in our feeble human thinking and intellect, we can't even begin to understand or grasp how holy he really is and how almighty he really is and what God, he created this universe. And then we're going to just march in and expect him to just take us any old way. No, it's respectful. They don't do the president of the United States that way or some judge in a court. I mean, if you got any sense, you won't. You're going to pay the price if you do. God's much more than any of them. They changed their garments and they didn't try to approach God casually or indifferently as if he was some common man like themselves. Just simply called reverence. Reverend is his name. And it ain't talking about some preacher, it's talking about God. They were obviously dressed to identify with the ungodly people around them, and this was a hindrance when going to meet with God. All right, they were delivered from the trouble that was threatening them as soon as they started toward the house of God. I want you to think about that a minute. That's all it took. They had to start toward the house of God, and the trouble stopped. It's kind of like the prodigal going home. When he was yet a great way off, his father ran to meet him. His problems were over as soon as he started home. Yes. And then they journeyed. And they journeyed. Verse 5. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Jacob and his sons thought these people were going to kill him. Kill them all. Because they'd made such an uproar. But they traveled. As they journeyed, they got their stuff together and packed up to leave. And everybody just left them alone. Yeah. They did not pursue after the sons of Jacob because the terror of God was upon them. When the world sees that you mean business with God, they'll separate themselves from you. I know that from experience as well as the Word of God. When you really mean business with God, you don't have to worry about them bothering you anymore. I mean, as far as being, you know, trying to mess with you, they'll leave you alone. They'll separate from you. That's always a clear evidence of somebody who's really forsaken all and truly seeking after God and his righteousness. The world don't have any use for you anymore. They're not going to be inviting you to their parties and get-togethers and all that. They won't even invite you to the family reunion. Amen. Mine didn't. I remember, you know. And that back in them days, they would plan it so it would be at a time when I wasn't going to be there because it's 12 o'clock on Sunday. Yeah. Well, forget it. They don't want you there. Had people wouldn't come to my house anymore, you know, from the day when they found out. They were there every day until that day, and then they never come back. And people will do that. All right? However, they'll be interested in your children. Y'all listening to me?
Yes.
They'll be interested in your children, and they'll be after them. They'll go after them with every lie and every trick and every enticement that they can come up with. And our best defense and protection against that threat is to dwell at Bethel, the house of God, in the presence of God. Our children should be the spiritual, you know, our concern for our children ought to be their spiritual welfare and not their social welfare. Better listen to me. You better listen to me. You better not worry about your kids and their social welfare. That is a lie out of hell that's going to steal your children from you and from God. They don't have to have that. Most people are deceived into thinking that their children must have friends their own age and fun activities and sports or they'll not develop properly. That is a lie from hell.
Yeah.
They don't need that. They need God. And they need the reality of God in their life. And they need an example of the reality of God in somebody else's life, and that is you. They don't need friends. Friends will lead them astray. They don't need fun activities. I mean, I'm not against having fun. But we've never had any problem with that. I don't think our kids have suffered from being kept from all of that junk. No, sir. I don't. And all you got to do is wait, and time proves it. Time proves it. But there's people who believe that. So many do. They can't be in a church where there's not a bunch of junk going on all the time. Fun activities and stuff. And things are going. People won't. I've had other preachers tell me. I've had people call me. You know, well, what does your church offer for the young people? Well, we offer the Word of God and preaching. Amen. And I'll tell you what I've found out. Young people, if somebody will preach to them, they like it more than the older people do. And if somebody will challenge them and plow their ground for them, they'll respond to it. What they don't like is phony, fake, dead religion and emptiness and lies and storytelling and all of that. They don't like that. They may sit and put up with it, but it doesn't change their life. It doesn't do anything for them. But young people do respond to the truth of God. Somebody just needs to preach to them. Somebody needs to really challenge them. That philosophy doesn't come from God, but from the ungodly world around us that these kids need all that other stuff. It's one of the main tools Satan uses to steal and ruin the souls of our children. They need to know God in reality, and that can only happen when they dwell at Bethel, the house of God, where God speaks to the people there. And if we play religion and keep wandering off into Succoth and other places and building our altars in places besides Bethel, the world will get our children. And when our life is over, it'll be as if we never lived here. If the devil gets our children, what have we left in the world? Need to hang on to them. Jacob's going to Bethel because God told him to go there. There'll not be people in heaven who are not a part of the fellowship here on earth. Now, I'm going to say these things. I believe it. I mean, either you believe it or not, that's just up to you. You'll find out one of these days. I believe that there's not going to be people in heaven who are not part of the fellowship here on earth. Because that's one of the marks of being saved. If you pass from darkness into light, you love the brethren. And if you love the brethren, you want to be with them. You don't hate them. You don't avoid them. You don't separate yourself from them. You don't? So, not everybody that goes to church now is going to heaven. Of course, we know that, don't we? We all understand that real clear this morning, that not everybody that goes to church is going to heaven. I don't have any doubt that not everybody that's here right now, listening to me right now, in this little bitty crowd, not everybody that's here is going to heaven. You're in church this morning, but you ain't going to heaven. Because you're not right with God. There's always somebody in the crowd. But the people of God who are going to heaven are going to be found in the house of God here on earth. Amen. Amen. Being in the house of God here is a big part of what prepares us for heaven. You're not going to be prepared for heaven unless you're in the house of God here on earth. If you don't dwell in the house of God here, how do you think you're going to dwell in the house of God forever? Huh? And if your faith won't get you to church, how do you think it's going to get you to heaven? And if you can't stand the people that go to church, how are you going to be able to stand the people in heaven? Ain't going to happen. No, heaven's going to be a place for those that love Him, love one another. We looked at a picture the other day. It was somebody we know and hadn't seen in a long time, dear brother and friend. And she said to me, you know, think about it. Heaven's going to be, what's heaven going to be like? It's going to be never being separated. It's going to be being together with the people of God forever. Ain't that going to be wonderful? Won't it be wonderful there? Oh, yes. Sure will. How are you ever going to meet people like that? How are you ever going to know people like that when you don't go to the house of God? I've told you before, the dearest, most blessed people that I've met in my life, the best friends I've ever had, the sweetest fellowship I've ever had, been in the house of God. That's where I met these people. It's where I got the best things that I've ever got in my life. I got them going to church. And going to a church where God spoke to the hearts of the people that came. Amen. It's the place to go. God told Jacob, go to Bethel and dwell there. Ain't you tired of wandering around, Jacob? How many times are you going to move off somewhere else? Build you an altar of your own somewhere? How many times are you going to keep trying that? How much trouble are you going to have to get in before you realize that what I'm telling you here is the simple, honest truth, the only answer to it? Being in the house of God here is a big part of what prepares us for heaven. And being in the house of God is where we get acquainted with those we're going to spend eternity with. Amen. All right. Won't you stand with me?